And we're back.
And we're back.
With another truly robotic introduction.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Chips and Bits podcast.
It's the Chips and Bits podcast.
I'll be your host this month, Matthew Anderson. On the other side of the screen,
Kenny Myers.
There he is.
I said that like Mario. It's a Kenny Myers. I'm Italian. It's okay for me to be racist against Italians.
Sure. I've heard that.
Yeah, that's the rule.
I'm Canadian. What does that let me do?
It means you can be really nice to people without exception.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, we're here.
Except when it comes to hockey.
And we're hockey is an exception for most things.
Wait, I just want to. Did you just say we're here as if like that is. We're here. I feel like that's very obvious.
We're together once again. Talking about together, video
that's
games.
Different. Yeah.
For the good of the people.
Sorry, I've clearly woken up with a bug in my ass from just lack of sleep. So I'm glad we're here.
That's okay. Do me a favor, Kenny. Press up to drop the theme song on us.
Oh, yeah. Let's do that. I was thinking of something. Please review us on Spotify and iTunes. That actually helps tremendously with the growth of this podcast. We're hoping to add one additional listener this year.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know what else helps with the growth of this podcast? Peanut butter M&Ms.
I thought you were going to say actually doing the podcast, which we didn't do for the last 2 years. But generally, yes.
No.
But game reviews last forever, as the old saying goes.
So yeah, here we are, another atypical during daylight podcast where we're recording this during broad daylight.
Yeah.
Which if you're listening, you don't care. But if you are just listening and you didn't know that we put these podcasts up on YouTube so you can stare at our stupid faces.
Our big dumb faces.
You can go to YouTube. You can find our YouTube channel. I don't remember what it is because I didn't take the housekeeping notes, but I bet you can find it. You can watch us record in the daylight. We're going to talk today about an older game, a slightly older game.
As older men, now in our 40s, into our 40s.
Lovingly referred to as Titanfall 2.
Deuce.
Not even the original. The
Titanfall
sequel.
Deuce.
Titanfall Duh.
Duh.
And for those that might not be familiar with the game, it might make sense to do just kind of a brief intro into what this game is kind of about. I'm not going to go into the history of kind of how the whole company got started and what they started doing. But the first game we didn't podcast about, but I know Kenny and I both played it. We both loved it.
Because it was the only launch title for Xbox One, I think. That was like that and Rise of Rome, which you did make me play.
Very throwback. But, you know, to sort of give you an idea as to how old this game was, the original, that is.
Yes.
You could run along walls. And that was a big deal when this game came out. We were like, wow, you can wall run and jump off of walls and shoot at the same time.
Although I do think Prince of Persia existed at that point.
I remember this game being one of the first games that you could really like do.
I think it's weird that you like focused on the wall jump instead of the summoning a giant fucking mech from the sky, which was way cool.
Well, in typical Kenny fashion of interrupting me before I'm finished with my point, the other thing that this game was well known for was that it introduced this this notion of calling down a gigantic mech from the sky. You could build up your power by being good at the game and shooting and killing people. And
I like to consider it, I just want to interrupt again. I like to consider it inspiring you to get to your point at a brisker pace is what I would say.
Sure. But I guess what I'm alluding to is at that point in time, there had been this notion of sort of power-ups and super weapons and unlocking specials in first-person shooters. But this was the first time where, you know, you just use, you know, your regular kit, but what you unlocked was actually a giant machine that would fall from the sky and you could hop into it and then you were, you know, very efficient as a in a first person shooter against little people on the ground.
You could squish them. Squish.
Yeah, so that's sort of like just a setting the table as to what the original game was all about.
You forgot one important fact.
What's
unless
that?
I am again inspiring you to get to your point quicker. It was multiplayer only.
It was multiplayer only.
Which I think is very relevant for Titanfall 2.
Yes.
Which, hands down, might have one of the best single-player campaigns I've ever played. it's been hyped to me for so long that I was worried I had just been, like, overhyped and that it would not deliver. But holy shit, does it deliver. So, yes. But the original one was multiplayer only. And it was really, really fun. We played a lot of it. And also we played a lot of it because it was like the game that we were playing on the new fangled machines.
Yes.
And it felt like a next-gen game, summoning a big-ass Titan. So it was really fun. We had a really good time playing it. But admittedly, it was only for like a month or two. And then I think we stopped.
Yeah. So we decided to revisit. For whatever reason, it popped up in sort of like our social zeitgeist. And because we liked the first one so much, we were like, well, why not go back and revisit this? Neither of us had ever played the sequel. And I'm looking up.
Beyond that, just to, again, interrupt, friends were encouraging us to play it, as well as, like, it shows up a lot on a lot of the YouTube channels and stuff and places whenever they talk about first-person shooters and, like, Apex Legends and stuff. It always would show up.
So this game, Titanfall 2, the sequel now we're talking about, that was released...
Further interrupt! No, I'm just kidding. I mean,
2016.
2016.
Double-checking the release date. That's how old this game is. So one of the things, whenever I revisit old stuff that's always really fun, is, and especially when it's a first-person shooter, those games for such a long time have been built around, you know, the ever-moving goal of realism in graphics. And so I'm always a bit concerned when it's this style of game to go back and play it, where I'm like, is it going to have kludgy controls? Is it going to look like a 10-year-old game? Like, there's going to be some problems, right? And there's not.
Like, no.
It's one of the things that was most impressive to me when I first put this game on was that it immediately reset my expectations. I like saw the menu screen and I was like, yeah, this is an old game.
Right.
This is old. And then I pressed play and I started playing it. And I was like, wow, really? Like, I mean, everything about it looks good. It runs perfectly, obviously, but there's like, I didn't run into a single bug, no glitches. The graphics are polished. The atmosphere within the environments, I mean, they're not large and crazy levels or anything, but what's there is super polished and everything.
They are really large well. And crazy levels. I disagree with you. Those things have so much like space and verticality as a result of its movement.
Oh, I mean, just like comparing it to something more like open world, that might be massive these days.
Yeah.
Or like, I guess, cause I had just also played a little bit of another mech game that was much bigger and dumber. Yeah. Whereas this one, I was like, yeah, it's linear, obviously, but it's just everything's super polished. So that for me was like immediately a striking thing. I was just expecting it to be old, look old and feel old. And it doesn't in any way that I can think of look or feel old. Cool. Thanks, Kenny. So
did you hear that?
No. What was I listening for?
Never mind.
Okay. So you alluded to something that we should talk about right off the bat, and I'll toss it to you to give some color there. But yeah, this game has a single player campaign, unlike the first, which was just built around multiplayer. Why did you like it so much?
Let's see. I would say it starts out pretty standard. Like the first two levels are like, they feel okay. The movement's really fun. I mean, you're getting adjusted. They're starting to introduce characters in particular. The writing in this game is exceptionally good. Mm-hmm. Even though the story itself is a trope, like the characters, essentially your giant mech is just one of the most lovable relationships. It starts with the training. It starts like Call of Duty. I mean, these are developers mm-hmm. who built famously Modern Warfare. and Titanfall. And so you go through this training with like a military guy telling you what to do, and there's a speed run to see how good you are. And then you enter the first level, which is like you're landing on a planet, and it's spectacle, but it doesn't feel like spectacle I haven't seen even at that time. Like, yes. You know, it's Gears was famous for that kind of spectacle, just like these big frontal assaults, Gears of War. And so you're going along, and you know, the traversal is really fun, but it's not particularly interesting. It's like on mountainsides and stuff like that. There's nothing challenging. And then like the next level is a factory with like moving parts. And throughout the factory, it's like weird cutouts of like homes, it looks like. It's really hard to figure out. And they slowly start getting get built together. And it feels like you can kind of go anywhere, even though you kind of can't. Mm-hmm. And then you're jumping, like you're using these moving factory parts. And then it ends up building what you're essentially vertically then climbing to the top, which then actually just turns out the entire time they've been building a training arena that you fight in, and like the last pieces show up. It's incredible. It just feels like you're just like, you could flow through everything. Like you're almost surfing through the game. I mean, you don't have to fight every guy in this game. You don't have to kill everyone. In some areas they block you. And like the fact that the level itself, the level design has plot in it for that level, is just like the first taster. You're like, well, that's going to be hard to beat that. And then they subsequently beat that. Like every level afterwards had some sort of delight or mechanism that was just like, oh, this is really fun. And then they take it, they teach you the mechanism really well. They use that mechanism to tell the story, and then they use it to like finally challenge you as you go through the level, and they just increase the pace. It's so well paced and so well designed. You really do feel like you can just jump through like anything. You feel a bit like Super Soldier, but I played on hard and I died a lot. The levels can be gimmicky, but the gimmicks are so fun. It's like, it's not afraid to be a video game ass video game. And I really like that about it. But it does it while telling this incredible, like endearing story of you having very small dialogue exchanges with BT, your robot, your Titan, and just like the humor and the choices and what the responses are just really endearing and sweet. And they don't feel like he's a sweet robot. Yeah. And so like you feel a sense of accomplishment, like after almost every level, you feel the bosses are really fun. They're really interesting. They're like teased throughout the level. And then each level subsequently has some sort of escalation or playing with the main like traversal, which I would say is this game's biggest best thing, and then just like ups the ante. It just makes it so fun. And there are times even in later levels where you're just like running and gunning, and like it's not a particularly compelling thing, but it goes so quick and you can move so fast, and like even in smaller corridors you still have lots of movement options. Like it's so good. And it's the perfect amount of time for a game. Like when it was done, I felt like I could have done more, but I didn't, which was great. Cause usually some of these games, you're just like, that was it. That was what I needed. But I'm glad that was it. It was such a good experience that at the end of the game, I just thought to myself, I was like, Jesus, that was a really fun single player campaign. What did you think, Matt?
Well, I was hoping you were going to give me some stuff that I could go in between, but you basically hit on all three of the things that I would have listed as my favorite things about this game. So I'll try not to be redundant. The thing about the robot, your Titan BT, every single level, I basically caught myself being like, How are they doing this? Right?
Yeah.
Like, how do they make me care about this big old doofy robot? Like, he's very monotone. It's super, like the humor is the way they write in the humor is that you accidentally and inadvertently are teaching BT how to be humorous by saying things to him that he doesn't understand. So that they're doing that sort of like C-3PO playoff thing.
But not annoying like C-3PO.
But not annoying. Yeah. And, you know, the way that you're introduced to this Titan in the game is you're not supposed to be fighting in a Titan yet. The guy who's training you, you sort of like get thrown into a mission. He gets killed. And he in the last ditch effort, he just like manually gives you control of the Titan. So you meet this robot and your introduction to him is him having just let go of his pilot who died. And he's just supposed to let you then become his new pilot. And it's just totally fine. He's just like, oh, hey, how's it going? I'm your new Titan. Get inside. I'm going to take care of you. And then this whole relationship starts. And it's the weirdest thing. It's one of the weirdest things I've experienced. I just was continually blown away with how they wrote the dialogue, how they made me care about him as a character. The presentation of it, I thought was super well done. The second one, far and away, the pace. Like, this is like playing the best popcorn movie you've ever played.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's never not enjoyable. And even when they slow it down on purpose to put a focus on a plot point or to do, there's some sort of like time and realm shifting stuff that they play around with in the story. And they'll slow things down so that you can see extra stuff and kind of go. It's almost like just having to move slowly. That's enough of a change in the gameplay for you to like stop and be like, oh, what am I supposed to pay attention to here? Because it's not like crazy and frantic for the moment.
Yeah.
But to Kenny's point, I mean, it's just level after level after new thing after mechanic after story after, and you're just like, whoa.
It's like masterclass on level design. I had a thought. The robot relationship is sort of similar to the writing of GLaDOS from Portal, like where you just have this sort of feeling over time, although it's very quick. And then second, like I was saying, like the level design on this game is clearly some of the best people working, like just inspired to create something truly. I mean, you know, their Modern Warfare and Modern Warfare 2 are considered level design sort of peaks.
Yes.
But this was just a like exceptionally fun, exceptionally well thought out, and just a blast. Like I feel like everyone should play this game. Now granted, first person shooters like this, just because of the franticness, are not for everyone.
Everybody. Yes.
But at least watch someone play this game, because it's pretty fucking, like, it is so fun. I am so glad I finally played it. And there is a little, I think there is a little hump in the beginning. Like, it's just like, oh, this feels like a standard FPS that the immediately starts like they, it's not slow at all, but it just takes a while. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was pretty much a perfect single player game.
Yeah. The last time I remember feeling like what you're describing about
was Firewatch.
No, you know, the last time I remember feeling this way about sort of the dynamic nature of the level design and how much I felt like that kind of, it's funny. It's almost like you don't notice it a lot of the time. But like the level design and what you're doing is so just like, you're not, it's out of the way that you're just going through. You're just experiencing the game. You don't have to stop and be like, where do I go with it? It's just like, everything is just right.
The answer is always forward.
Yeah. I think Dishonored 2. I think Dishonored 2 was the last time I was like, wow, this is some serious level design.
You know, what I think I would compare it to, what I think is the best comparison, is that experience of watching John Wick for the first time.
Yeah, sure.
Like, where you're just like, oh yeah, an action movie. And then at the end of it, you're just like, wow, I didn't know action movies could be like that. That was delicious. Mm-hmm. That I love that. Like, you just walk up and like, ah, oh, that was like, I, it's weird to think that something could surprise you, but also like, I don't know. Yeah. That's what I would compare it to.
I like it. Yeah. I like that a lot. Okay. And so the last thing that was top of mind for me that you touched on, that the part that I'll add some color to, is I really loved how they exposed the new weapons and mechanics to you through meeting the bosses.
Yeah.
You'd spend an entire level. You'd usually pick up one, sometimes two new weapons, and the weapons are entire kits. So like when your Titan picks up a gun, you get a full blown new kit, and you have to learn it, and you spend the whole level learning how to get a little bit better if you decided to roll with that new mechanism. And they do that thing, which I think, like, if I was to look at new games, it's when we play these new games and the bosses are amazing.
Yeah.
I have to imagine they took inspiration from this style of setup. Because what they end up doing kind of in a nutshell is a perfect example would be like, okay, you get this new gun and basically it's a sniper. It's a sniper rifle. And your special power is you can charge it up and you can just fire a blast and it'll annihilate like anybody. And so learn how to use this gun, 20 minutes later, you meet the boss and you fight the boss in close quarters with columns. And he's got a super fast jump pack and can hide behind the columns. You're like, well, shit, I just learned how to use this sniper rifle and now I can't find this guy. And so all the tactics that you've now become accustomed to, you now know perfectly how to use the weapon, but then you have to totally flip how you move your mech and where you position yourself on its head and do kind of the opposite of what you just learned. And it's a very simple trick, but it works almost every time you meet a boss. They throw something in there that catches you off guard.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool.
It's really quite great. And there really are two modes of play in this. There's the human one, which is you can leave your mech, which is about traversal.
How often did you do that? Speed. Like just when you didn't have to?
I don't know. I really like fighting in a giant mech, so not often. But I did see opportunities. Like there clearly was stuff like hidden and like if you did jump out of your mech, I looked at like, you know, I would be like walking by and I would see like a platform with a bunch of guys and like there was clearly doors that I could go into and I was just like, I'll just stay in the mech.
What they do a really good job if you didn't hop out a lot. After like the first area and when I got to the elevator that kind of takes you down to the machinery before you get to the houses, but when you're just sort of like trying to get to know your mech, there's this area where you're walking along the side of a platform. There's a huge like mountain, like valley and pit off to your left. And then there's these sort of Star Wars style, like metal like walls on angles, all at 45 degree angles leading into this other area. And you're supposed to go around this whole square in your mech, but the blades kind of have these little openings in them. And as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, I'm going to run in there. So I like hop out of my mech. Your mech keeps going. Like your Titan follows you around and tries to protect you. And the interesting thing they do is that when that happens almost all the time, if you flank that area, the enemies that are confined there, they all go for your mech. So, I mean, the game did a really good job of keeping that sort of popcorn mentality where you're so accustomed nowadays to be like, okay, I got to go in, got to find cover, got to put my shield up, got to play it safe. In this, you just run in there to King's point, just like John Wick, and you're just like punch, kick, slide, shoot, jump. They're all dead. Yeah. And then you just hop back in your mech and walk. It was just like, it was so cool.
It's a little riskier in hard. Did you play in hard mode?
Yep.
Okay. It was a little riskier, I thought, than it would be regularly, but it was really fun. Yeah. No. We also played the multiplayer.
We did.
Which was fun. It was as fun as I remember Titanfall 1 being, and they added a wave defense like Gears, and that was really fun.
I thought that was super fun.
And they have like a loadout by screen. I really enjoyed that too. I could keep playing that. I know you had some issues with the like just deathmatch.
Well, with deathmatch, it's that hard thing of like, I already, full disclosure, was never quite super good with first-person shooters. Then you add to it, I'm
level 47, like players against you.
Yeah, you add, I'm older now, you know, so it's like, now I'm extra not good at first-person shooters. I don't play, I almost play nothing with a mouse and keyboard anymore these days. That's how old I am. I use a controller. And so it's just this combination of that. Plus, we're playing a game 10 years old. With only people that would be playing this game that have played it for 10 years.
Yeah.
So like Kenny and I just drop in our mechs. We're just like, what does this map look like? Where are we going? Dead. Oh, okay. How do I use this gun? Dead. You know? So it's just a grim reminder that old school style of first person shooter was a lot about trying to stay alive.
Time to kill, baby.
TTK. Not very good at it. Yeah.
Not very good. The wave match was better because obviously humans weren't fighting us.
Yes.
But even on easy mode, it got a little challenging.
Yeah,
it did. And it's also class-based, kind of, which I actually really enjoyed.
Yeah.
I think it'd be fun to play around with some of our buds and see if we can do a harder mode. But that was, you know, like Tsushima multiplayer. I just love that setup, the waves and the classes. I just think that's a really fun setup.
Yeah, it's great.
If only Overwatch had implemented what they planned to.
You mean that first person, the PvE?
The PvE stuff. Yeah. Shame. I thought this game was brilliant. I think you could find it very cheap, and it is worth buying and playing and loving.
Absolutely.
You know,
totally agree.
If you're old like Matt and not spry and young like me, you can still get through it because it's so enjoyable.
Yeah. Just don't play the multiplayer deathmatch and you'll be fine.
Unless we're like, it's a huge, all of us playing against each other, but we need a lot of people.
The entire Chips and Bits crew.
Middle-aged men.
All hops online at the same time.
Yeah.
So that the queue is not.
One of these days we'll have a community and be organized enough to do that, but not yet. Our podcast is even older than Titanfall 2, and we still haven't been able to do that. But it's the joy of seeing your beautiful face that keeps me here, Matt.
Well, until that day, Kenny, we'll just continue podcasting every month.
Forever.
Next month, we will be talking about Alan Wake 2.
Have you started?
Which I haven't even started yet.
Ooh.
So
I've started it. I've started it, and I've only played like 2 hours. But immediately, I was like, I think we're all going to love this game. But we'll see. I've had that thought before.
Yep.
Had that thought before.
We'll see. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. I've been your host this month, Matthew Anderson. And with me, as always,
Kenny Myers.
The Kenny. Thanks. We'll see you in a month.
I don't think we ever refer to me as the Kenny.
I do.
All right.
There's only one.
I'm going to start the theme now.